sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Hey, it's the Super Bowl this weekend, so you need to be fully stocked, whether you're going to a Super Bowl party or you're hosting one, or if you decide just to watch the game at home with family. You need to be fully stocked and ready to go. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. Hey, during the show today, let's put the show on the car radio. Drive over to Brewers Outlet. Make sure you're fully stocked and ready for the weekend. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big news now is that Sean Spencer is going to the New York Giants to be their defensive line coach. It's quite a staff that he's put together there. He's got Freddie Kitchens coaching tight ends. He's got Mark Colombo in the offensive line. He's got Jason Garrett as his offensive coordinator. And the outside linebacking coach is Brett Bielema, the former Wisconsin and Arkansas head coach. Brett Bielema is coaching outside linebackers. So Sean Spencer did a great job in his 6 years here. Statistically, Penn State was in the top 11 in sacks per game in four of the last 5 years. Top 11 in the country for the last 5 years, sacks per game. We all know what Penn State's numbers were against the run this year, which were absolutely outstanding. So he did a fabulous job here. And you know, and being around him for 6 years, energy that he has is infectious all over the practice field. And the respect he had from his players is tremendous. So Sean Spencer is, I hope whatever happens with him, he'll be terrific. We always shared an interesting link because Sean played at Wesleyan, Connecticut, and he's moved around a lot of places. So the 6 years he spent here at Penn State, I think it's the longest he's spent anywhere for a long time. And at one point, he was coaching at UMass. So I just in casual conversation one day, I said, so when you're at UMass, I said, where'd you live? He goes, well, actually, I didn't live in Massachusetts. He says, well, I mean, it wasn't that far away. I lived in Enfield, Connecticut. I said, you lived in Enfield, Connecticut? Really? He said, that's where I grew up. I said, where in Enfield did you live? He says, well, I lived on Dale Road. I said, Dale Road? I mean, off of Raffia Road? He says, yeah. I said, in front of the little plaza, there's David Street. He goes, yeah. I said, my mom's house where I grew up, I said, was the fourth house on the left. He goes, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, literally, where he was living was a stone's throw away from the house I grew up in. So he always referred to me when he'd say, he'd say, hey, Steve, how you doing? Or every once in a while, he'd get playful. He goes, hey, Enfield, how's everything going? So I hope he does. He'll be great. The Giants picked up a real winner in Sean Spencer, a real winner. Somebody I really like and have tremendous respect for. Now for James Franklin, it's an interesting offseason. It's another hire he has to make. You know, let's face it, you know, Jared Parker moved up. But I think the hires he's made so far have been great hires to this point. I mean, great hires to this point. He has had a lot of people he's connected with, James Franklin, over time. And he keeps those connections going because, look, this is the transient nature of what sports is today. This is something that Penn State fans are not used to. Joe Paterno was here for 61 years. And in the 61 years, when Joe took the job, the only coach he replaced on the staff was himself. I believe he hired Bob Phillips. Everybody else stayed. Earl Bruce stayed. Jim O'Hara stayed. I mean, J.T. White stayed. Then, of course, during Joe's tenure, it was rare when a coach left. Yeah, Dick Anderson took the head coaching job at Rutgers. Okay. Craig Service took the head coaching job at Buffalo. You know, every once in a while somebody would leave. Greg Schiano left and took a defensive backfield coach with the Chicago Bears. But the stability was always there. You know, suddenly Brian Norwood in the 2000s took a job at Baylor. And he brought Kermit Bugs in, and Kermit Bugs did a great job. Kermit was already on the staff. He just elevated Kermit. So Penn State, it was rare when they had to hire a coach, like Al Golden being here 1 year. And that was a surprise to a lot of people. I thought Al, when he was here, did a great job. But Al Golden leaving led to Ron Vanderlinden. So it was rare when Penn State had to replace somebody on the coaching staff. Usually it's because somebody retired. And we're in a different time. I mean, look at all the coaching changes across the SEC. And look at LSU. LSU has to now revamp a good portion of its staff after winning the national championship. It's just the way everything is today in college football. Ohio State, Ryan Day took over as the head coach last year. He revamped that defensive staff except for Larry Johnson. He revamped the whole staff. That was his choice where he revamped the entire staff. Look at the changes Michigan's made. Alabama constantly, their staff is in flux. It's just the way it is in college football today. And it's a great opportunity for Sean. You have to guess it's more money. I'm only guessing. But how much I like him and respect him, I think he is just tremendous and did a lot of great things for Penn State. And he's going to do great things for the Giants. Now for James Franklin, this is something he's been in the pipeline about, so he's probably already been going through, okay, who are the possibilities here? He's going to have a press conference, I believe, on Wednesday anyway, because Wednesday is National Signing Day. Now, there's going to be very little activity across the country. I mean, in essence, the signing day happens to be the signing day now happens to be that Wednesday in December, so there's not going to be a lot of activities, but he's going to have a press conference anyway coming up on Wednesday. We'll get a better feel for everything along the way as to how he feels, and they'll get that into place and then move forward. Three New Year's Six games in the last 4 years, Penn State's had coaching movement along the way. The key is that the head coach is not moving. Remember, all this is his vision. As long as Penn State's got James Franklin, they'll be fine. They'll be able to make the right moves along the way because they still have James Franklin. Now, that's the key part. Assistant coaches, quality guys, no question, make a huge impact. Like a Sean Spencer, huge impact. But if they decide there's only so much in the pool, and if they decide they can get a better spot, you can't blame them. The key is that you still have James Franklin. That's the key. All right, we'll come back. Of course, been a tough week with the passing of Kobe Bryant. Willie Chandler played against him. We'll hear from him in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Still to come on the show today, Paul Alexander joining us in Pittsburgh next half hour. Then we go to Miami, Dieter Kurtenbach, San Jose Mercury News, who covers the 49ers at 4:06, and Nate Bauer in the final half hour of today's show. Of course, the passing of Kobe Bryant, tragically, along with eight others, including his daughter, on Sunday, shocked the system across the country. And that included Willie Chandler, the head basketball coach at Misericordia College in Dallas, in the Back Mountain. Because he played against Kobe Bryant when he was at Scranton in the state playoffs in 1996. I mean, when I say he played him man-to-man all night long. And it had a great impact on him in his life and his career. And we welcome him to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. You played against Kobe Bryant in high school, in the playoffs, state playoffs. He obviously would come into the game with a great rep to begin with. What was it like facing him one-on-one, and did the hype match what you thought you would see?
Yeah, well, at the time, I was 15 years old, so I was only a sophomore. He was a senior, but, everyone followed basketball. You know, we knew who he was. We knew he was the number one player in the country. And I've never played against anyone, you know, that caliber yet in my life, you know, and still to this day I haven't. But, you know, we got to the point where, you know, we upset Williamsport in the first round of states, and we knew we were going to play Kobe in Lower Marion. You know, and they're the number one team in the state. I think they had one or two losses. And that week, he was in the Slam magazine, had a big write-up in the Slam magazine. And that's when I, like, really learned about who he was, who his dad was. You know, he spoke five languages or six languages, and I'm like, all right, this kid's pretty impressive. You know, still didn't know how good of a basketball player he was, because we really didn't scout him, because we didn't think we were going to beat Williamsport. So we didn't scout Lower Marion, really. It's just Coach Lyons came to me and said, Chandler, you're guarding him. You're our most athletic guy. You got him. And I said, thank you. And I kind of smiled, because I didn't know what I was getting myself into until later on. But it was a great opportunity.
All right, so in the end, what did you get yourself into?
Well, let me say this. Kobe on the court wasn't the nicest guy. You know, he was intense from the start. You know, he threw an elbow at me, got an offensive foul early in the game. I think he tried to make a point there, like, hey, get off me, and hit me in my throat. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was trying to grab his shorts and stuff, trying to irritate him. He's just smacking my hand away and telling me every time he's going to score or dunk the ball. And he did it every time he said he was going to do it. And it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, this is a whole different kind of ball player. I see why he might be going to the NBA. And, but the thing that impressed me most about him was after the game. You know, he wasn't, like I said, he was intense, very, you know, he was a killer on the court. Like, he didn't smile, didn't say anything nice to me on the court. But after the game, he came down to the locker room, you know, said to my coach, hey, where's the Chandler kid at? You know, took me out, I got my family, took all pictures, signed autographs, talked to me, gave me some advice. And that's when I was a Kobe fan from that point on. You know, I was, you know, for a guy to be able to flip the switch like he did, to being on the court, and then to being polite and intelligent like he was off the court, you know, that's how I want to play. You know, I'm like, I'm going to be that way no matter what. I'm not as good as Kobe, but when I'm on the court, and I try to teach my players now to this day, like, when you're on the court, no matter who you're playing, I don't care if it's your best friend from high school, you know, he's in front of what we're trying to do. You know, we had to take it personal like that. And then off the court, I want you to be the best gentleman around campus, in the classrooms, and be gentlemen. You know, and that's the one thing I try to teach now, and that's the one thing I was, and I try to be when I was, you know, growing up playing and, you know, going through my career.
He talked during the game. Do you remember any memorable trash talk line that even stuck with you and made you smirk a little bit?
Yeah, so the best part of the game, you know, even though we're getting killed, it's a second half. They're already, I mean, the game's in hand for them as it is. You know, Kobe goes down the lane and finger rolls a shop of air balls it. So our student section was probably like 2,000, 3,000 deep. Started chanting air ball, air ball. And no, so we come back down. We could have made a foul in front of their bench. So I'm guarding. Kobe's taking the ball out of bounds, and I'm guarding him. So before he gets handed the ball, he says to me, "Hey, Chandler, watch this." And I'm like, you know, I'm like, what's he talking about? Watch this. You know, so before I can even think, he throws the ball in. I get hit with a back screen. The next thing I know, I'm turning around. The ball's at the top of the backboard, and he's grabbing it for an alley-oop dunk and goes in front of our student section and, like, kind of laughs at our student section, smiles at our student section, and that was it. You know, I was like, oh. You know, I ran back, and he's smiling at me the whole time down the court, and I couldn't do anything about it. I'm like, all right, he told me what he was going to do. I got hit with a back screen. I got out of the way quick.
That's unreal. Now, he did talk
a lot, though. I mean, and it, you know, and he let you know what he was doing, and most of the time he followed through what he was saying.
What's it been like for you knowing that you had that 2 hours where it was you against him, and not only that, but when it was over, he appreciated you, the competitor. What was it like watching his career play out because you had that experience?
And I'm glad you said it. That's why I feel so connected to him. Like, once we played that game and he talked to me like a human being, he didn't talk to me like I was a fan. He talked to me like a person. And to see what he did in the NBA, I was his biggest fan. Like, when he won a championship, I felt like I won a championship. Like, that's how I was connected to him. And I think that's why the city of Scranton is connected to him, because we had that chance. Scranton kids had a chance to play against one of the best basketball players to ever play the game. And I think that's why our area is hit so hard by this and why all the news stations are doing. We had a connection. You know, no matter what anyone says, there was a connection there between Scranton and Kobe and myself guarding him and how he treated me after the game. There's a connection, and that's why I was so hurt. You know, we had practice today. I really didn't want to be there. You know, I don't want to be around basketball right now at this time. But, you know, I still got to do my job. And it's just, you know, to all the families that, you know, that were affected by that crash, it's a shame. It's a shame. And like I said, you know, January 26th will never be the same, you know, for me at least.
So true. So true. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. All right. Hey, you're either driving home from work, or you picked up the kids at school. Yeah, or you just maybe just at home, your day's finally done. You know what? You need to stock up for the Super Bowl this weekend. Everybody, you know, there's a lot of Super Bowl parties all over the place. Matt's got, I think, 75 people coming to his house. the suit has none. But regardless of whether you're in Matt's situation or the suits, you can go over to Brewers Outlet and stock up for the weekend and stock up for your Super Bowl party. Either you're going to one, so bring something with you, or you're hosting one, which means you have to have plenty of beverages for everybody. And there's a wide variety of tastes out there. So people love beer. So they have imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. All right. Well, some people like wine coolers. Well, they've got a great selection of wine coolers. Water, soft drinks, right? You need snacks. You need lots of snacks and dips and everything that goes with that. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, let's face it, your Super Bowl party can't be complete without a few pickles here and there. The pickle bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, Buhner loves garlic, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors. Hey, Tom and his staff, tremendous. First class all the way. They know how to treat the customer. They want to find out what makes the customer tick. They've got great product lines. And they back it up with an awesome service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. There's news about Sean Spencer going to the New York Giants. And James Franklin, look, he's made great hires. I mean, I think Phil Troutwine is going to be, he has a great track record at Boston College. Taylor Stubblefield is a wide receiver coach coming in. Right. Kirk Shiraka. That was a knock-it-out-of-the-park hire as the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. Now they have to come up with a defensive line coach. Let's face it, Spence did a great job in his 6 years. Did a great job. And stepped in. Penn State was in the top 11 in sacks per game in four of the last 5 years. And he was here 6 years. And pretty impressive. Penn State outstanding against the run this year. Again, I mean, flat-out outstanding against the run. Now it's a whole defensive look there between what Brent does coordinating it and Terry and Tim and the work they do in the secondary. But the, you know, this will be another important hire. But this is just the nature of college football. I mean, James Franklin has success. I've been to New Year's Six games three of the last 4 years. You have success. I mean, look, LSU has to go through and change. How much of their staff do they have to change now? They have to change a lot of their staff. They just won the national championship. So this is, look at Nick Saban. He has to change his staff all the time because if you have a successful program, other organizations are looking at why you're successful. So Jared Parker becomes an offensive coordinator. Ricky Ronnie becomes a head coach. Sean Spencer becomes a defensive line coach in the NFL. That's why it happens. The key is James Franklin's still there. And you know the high regard personally. Okay, my high regard is not just professionally, but personally. And, of course, obviously professionally in James Franklin. As long as he's there. That's the rudder right there. All right. Pittsburgh making news, but making baseball news. Get ready for another rebuild, Pirate fans. But Ben Cherington has to do what Ben Cherington has to do. He has to look at the organization and say, okay, this is what I know what your history is, but I mean, I've got to do something here. So let's bring in my good friend, longtime friend, Paul Alexander in Pittsburgh. Paulie, how you doing, friend?
Jonesy, what's going on?
Yeah, just getting ready to go to Nebraska. Next stop.
Oh, beautiful Lincoln.
Yeah, nothing like it.
No.
It's going to be 50.
Been there, done that.
It's going to be 52 degrees there on Saturday. How about that?
Oh, that's not bad. You'll get in and out okay.
Yeah, so that's the key. Before we get to anything else, I've got to ask you about Starling Marte. What was the reaction and thought process? Because this is essentially, other than obviously having a new manager, but this is essentially the first imprint that Ben Cherington has of any way, shape, or form in the franchise.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the fan base, albeit numb, simply sees, all right, they got two 19-year-old prospects, albeit top 10.
Yeah.
So we're, what, two, 3 years away from even considering to contend?
Right.
So now, you know, what's the Josh Bell market? It's really, I think, if they want to use the R word, it's time to come clean and say, yeah, you know, this is going to be a little bit of a ride for you, but we're going to strip it down to the studs and we're going to try and get good prospects in here, build around Reynolds and a couple other young guys. Hopefully get Jameson Taillon back for a year or two. And hopefully by 2023, maybe we're, you know, we're a team that can maybe, you know, be a wild card contender.
Is that in some ways, let's take it from Ben Cherington's point of view, somebody who's come in from the outside and now is looking at this. Is this actually for him a realistic way to do it? Because obviously the fan base has history. So the fan base has lived and died by this for year. He's just coming in from the outside saying this is what needs to be done. Is that essentially how he needs to look at it?
Yeah, and I think that's what they really could use is some transparency.
Yeah, I agree with that. Then that's a really good point, Paul.
It really is, because you can't trade away, you know, arguably your best player coming off his best year, who happens to be the highest paid player, and then say, well, yeah, we expect to contend next year. When you bring in two 19-year-olds, you bring in teenagers on the other side. So you better come clean.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You might as well tell them what you're trying to do here.
Yeah, and then hopefully you can get some people behind it, which I think you can, because right now, you don't have anything, really. You have a brand-new front office, which is nice. I think everything got a little tired in terms of, you know, what they were hearing. It was tired. I mean, you know, Huntington was the longest tenured GM in the National League, and he didn't have much to show for it. So I think coming clean could really do everybody a world of good. Be, you know, feel like a nice cleansing, a nice shower. Let's move on.
I got to ask you about the Penguins. What have you thought of them? What have you thought about them so far? Because I mean, they've had to fight through some injuries yet.
Yeah, I mean, the most man games lost, you know, of any team in the NHL, and not just average players. I mean, they still haven't gotten, you know, Dumoulin back. Schultz is going to be back, you know, probably tomorrow night when they resume after what seems like they haven't played hockey in about a month.
Yeah,
It's been an extended period. They had their bye, you know, mixed in with the All-Star break, but, you know, didn't have Sidney Crosby for an eternity. Geno was out for a while. They still have to overcome the loss of Gensel, which, you know, Rust has certainly been amazing, you know, with his 20 goals already, but you do need to find someone that's going to be, you know, kind of a high-powered scoring wing if you expect to go deep into the playoffs.
And it sounds like Jim Rutherford is active shopping for that individual.
You know what? He wakes up in the morning looking to make a deal. Yeah. I mean, that's year-round. I mean, you know, Trader Jim is not messing around. And I love him because, you know, he pulls the trigger on deals, and some don't work. And what he does, like so many other, you know, big-time sports GMs don't do, is that didn't work. I better fix it. He goes out and makes another deal and tries to fix it. I just love him because everybody knows – all he is trying to do is win now. There is no nonsense for, like he even said, I'll go out and get a rental player. I'll get a guy for 2-3 years on his contract. As long as he works to help us win a cup right now, I don't care. That's who he'll get.
What's interesting, because this is something I've said on this show before, is that every time you're talking about building for the future, that tells me you have no present.
Correct. You know, I'll take it back to, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people about, you know, is it Jari or is it Murray? I said, listen, this is not a football mentality. This is, you have two great goaltenders. Like the first cup they won in 15, that was Murray and Fleury.
Yeah.
And you don't win it without both of them.
Right.
Now, Murray got the next one pretty much on his own, and that's fantastic.
Yep.
But now, I mean, they can go forward and win a cup with Jari and Murray, and who's the, you know, you don't, you have great success when people contribute without caring who gets credit.
That's right.
That's how you win championships. That's how you do great things in business and anything. But it's unlike in football. If you have two quarterbacks, you know what that means. You don't have one.
Right.
In this town, and I'm thinking, I'll State College, I think, is a little guilty of it as well, you have a football mentality.
Sure.
Because
we're
kind of football oriented. And that football mentality tells you, you better pick a goaltender and you better pick him now. Right. Or there's going to be division in the locker room. No, there's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Murray got some Bronx cheers the other night when he had a real rough start. They had that unbelievable comeback win against Boston, probably the best win of the year. And Murray came back and just played lights out second and third period after a really shaky, bad first period when the fans were on him. And Gino, I got to love Gino. He's become very sad. He said, listen, this isn't Philadelphia. We don't do that here.
Right.
I mean, here's, you know, a guy that really didn't care too much about learning our language or anything else. But, man, now he's coming out and being, this isn't Philadelphia, for heaven's sakes.
Now
what
he's
are you doing?
Now he's a Pittsburgh guy.
He sure is, through and through. He's probably at Permane's right now.
he's over there. He's saying, put more fries on my salad, please.
Exactly. What are you doing? I can't eat a salad without fries.
Come on, man. All right, so can't let you go without getting your thoughts on the Super Bowl, because obviously I got a guy in here pacing. He's wearing a hole in the carpet.
Poor guy. It's not going to go well for him, unfortunately. Right now, I think finally Andy Reid gets his coronation.
Yeah.
I really believe that. As much as I like the fact that San Francisco is proving if you can run the football and play great defense, you can still win football games, which we all know will always be the case. But there's a dynamic on the other side of the field called Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and that's
when
a
dynamic. When you go down in a playoff game 24-0, and you win the game going away, you're so special and different, it's not even something you can categorize. It's not even something you can, in any way, shape, or form, come up with a way to categorize it. You just can't.
I mean, just based, you know, you're trying to come up with like something, and what I think is a very close call as to who wins. You're trying to come up with something. This is the one I've come up with. We've watched Mahomes do remarkable things in the second half of games. I mean, actually, to be honest with you, he's actually been good all the way through in every game. He just didn't get any help. I mean, there's I mean, the Houston
drop passes just killed those guys.
And, I mean, drop passes that were right on the money.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But then I looked at San Francisco, which has been terrific. But then
But then
I found this. They are 28th in the NFL in fourth quarter pass defense, and they are 20th in the NFL in fourth quarter pass rush. And I thought, that is not the combination I would want to feel comfortable with if I'm Kyle Shanahan.
No, but if they find a way, now if they would jump out 24-0 somehow, some way.
Yeah.
If Kelsey drops a few passes early and, you know, say there's a couple fumbles, Tyreek Hill puts it on the ground or something like that, then all of a sudden, then you're built. I mean, you're built to take a lead, and you're built to shorten the game. And you're, but if they fall behind, you know, Garoppolo threw it 8 times in a championship game. 8 times. Now, granted, he didn't need to throw it anymore. I'm not holding that against him.
It was a Bob Greasy moment.
I don't see them coming from behind. Exactly. All of a sudden, he's Trent Dilfer. No, he's not that. He's a talented guy. But if they fall behind, they're in trouble. They just are. Although the fact that they have 4 running backs that run, you know, 4.44s, and they run, you know, in 3rd and 8, they run a trap for a 30-yard touchdown. they're not just your average rushing team, and their defense is going to be formidable. I mean, Mahomes, but what Mahomes showed us last week with that run, you know, he's not Lamar Jackson.
No.
I get that.
Yep.
But he doesn't have to be, because Lamar Jackson isn't Patrick Mahomes either.
No.
You know, he hasn't thrown for 5,000 yards and, you know, and 50 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Nor ever will he.
No.
So I think Patrick Mahomes has the talent, the attitude, the savvy, you know, the football IQ to maybe be the most talented quarterback we've ever seen.
My friend?
And that's a lot.
Yeah, that is.
But I really think he's that good.
My friend, it's always a pleasure. You know that.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, hey, did they put the statue back up after last night's little party at the theater?
Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, has it been spotted? Is the statue back up?
No. No. Not
there. I was hopeful.
Not there.
Well, he did a good job, though, didn't he?
I heard from those who were there, because I obviously had a basketball game last night.
Obviously.
Yeah, but I heard that he gave compelling arguments.
Yeah, I read everything I could, and I've been in touch with a lot of folks up there. So the truth is finally coming out, thankfully.
Yeah, and that's always the single most powerful thing you can have.
Truth. Nothing like it.
Truth is better than narratives.
When the NCAA now has its guideline for any kind of sexual misconduct in an athletic program uses what Joe Paterno did as its standard, as its protocol, it's kind of silly for them to, in any way, shape, or form, hold anything against Penn State. It's just ridiculous.
Yep. I hear you.
I know you do. Oh, and one other thing I did want to say, you and I, the experiences we had with Ron Pavlechko, and I just want to express my deepest and most sincere condolences to his family, just everyone, the lives that he touched. I was a kid, doing his games in the early 80s.
Yeah.
When you got too busy and you allowed me to do a few in a couple seasons. My time with him was incredible, and he was just such a class guy. And that really really was sad news for me to learn this week.
Yeah, very sad. I talked about it on Monday. Essentially said the same thing you did. I said, you're a young broadcaster, and you're trying to do something really extensively for the first time, and you end up, that is your head coach that you're dealing with? You couldn't ask for a better person. Like, not just coach, but better person.
It was absolutely incredible.
Ron was awesome. Do you remember that time you and I were coming back from Cedar Cliff, and we're driving? We're driving the van. So we're driving the van back, and we're coming back on 322, and we had one of those the back windows like they popped out a little bit. Remember that thing popped off the van?
Oh my God! Yeah,
splattered.
Some of those experiences.
Yeah, it's like then we had to explain it the next day. I don't know, it just came off.
I don't know what happened. It just popped. But a game I don't think that I think I had to fly solo for a little bit. I'll never forget this kid from Williamsport by the name of Gary Brown.
Gary Brown, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I just told everybody from that point forward, if he goes to Penn State, he's going to be something.
Yeah,
and he was good enough to be a safety as a senior, and then a 7-year starter in the NFL as a running back.
Yep.
That's pretty good talent.
Pretty good talent. Now coaching.
Pretty good talent.
Backs. Pretty good talent.
Yeah, what a talent! So a millionaire.
Probably not just as a Williamsport millionaire, but maybe even off the field too. So
a literal millionaire.
Millionaire.
Hey. Jonesy, what a pleasure.
You too, my friend. Always.
All right, behave. All right.
Well, I think we go back. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, 37 years? 37 years, maybe 38? I think the world of him.
Always have.
He is a fun guy to be around. And by the way, do not attempt to take him on in the golf course. Alexander can flat out play. I mean, he can play. He's got game out on the course. Good athlete, anyway. All right, next half hour, Dieter Kurtenbach. We're going to go to Miami. Dieter's joined us before. We've had Dieter on from the NBA Finals. Now we're going to have him on from the Super Bowl. He's been covering the 49ers all season with the San Jose Mercury News. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.